someone comes up to you and says, that is haunted, what's your reaction? Do you need it to be proven to you by having your own personal experience to believe it? Do you base your reaction, your belief in that statement on your trust in the individual giving you that information? Do you simply just not believe in ghosts and what anybody says, no matter what their experience, it can't be true because that's not a possibility? Or do you just believe anything anyone says about a haunting, that, well, that's what they believe it must be? Accepting the dead is an interesting concept. All of us have different ways of doing that. Sometimes accepting the dead means not believing in ghosts, means not accepting that while you may be seeing the apparition of your deceased grandmother in your house, you are somehow going to write this off as something else. The furnace. It's a windy day. You know, you hear all different definitions. And sometimes it's not that obvious. Sometimes it's just, well, the cabinets are open again. That's a draft. There's unexplained boot prints in the driveway. Oh, somebody with boots came by last night. Those are hooves, actually, on second thought. There's goats that were loose. there's the unaccepting, but that's how they accept, because it's too scary of a concept and the coping mechanism in one's brain just doesn't allow them to go there. Then there's where you can jump in and believe almost anything and everything. And there's skeptical, but still believing, but still needing it to be proven to oneself. No matter how it is, no matter how you accept the dead, I think most of us who listen to this program are of at least the mindset that there's something going on. And on my end here in the studio, I take people at their word, and we just talk about the experiences and are able to share other experiences that we've learned from other people to let you know that you are certainly not alone in having experiences with the dead. In today's episode, it's no different. Three different stories of people kind of grappling with this idea that something is on the other side and it's trying to communicate. Even when it's tough to swallow, sometimes we have to accept the fact that, in fact, we have a paranormal experience going on. One listener struggles with this acceptance and trying to make sense of it. That's what is going to be discussed in our first story. Then a dead brother returns to give his sister one last scare from the grave. It happens in a dream. I'm sure you can try and write off a dream, but how do you write off a dream where there's a lot of physical components to it that there's no way she would have just conjured this up in her mind? And who's the ghost that haunts a group of college students sharing a rented house, and what does he want? They do some investigating, trying to find some answers, and really come up empty-handed, but the haunting persists. We're going to hear about all this in EPP bonus episode number 321 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Sometimes having a confirmation of a haunting is something that an individual needs, no matter how compelling the moment was, no matter how much you felt something, no matter how much you heard something. Sometimes we just need that with our own eyes to be able to say, I saw this. I know what this was. Otherwise, there's that big span of time of called the rest of your life where you're going 98% sure I had a paranormal experience, but there's that 2% that still kind of makes you go, well, maybe it was something else. My friend saw it, but I didn't see it. But I felt it. I heard it. I could, so many things. But sometimes you just need that little bit. I think our next listener struggles with that idea just a little bit, not to an extreme level, but enough where it becomes something that they wonder about and ponder for many years after the initial haunting experience. Take a listen. In elementary school, I lived in a house next to a cemetery in a suburb of Buffalo, New York. My parents divorced and I was living with my mom at the time and her then husband. He was not genuinely nice and there were frequent fights between him and my mom. They almost did a good job hiding it, but I did witness them yelling at each other and throwing things. I was just a kid and unsure of what to do. I'd usually just hide away. My grandpa lived downstairs with us while he was alive and I would visit him frequently and discuss his life, 1918 to the present day, World War II, and so many other interesting topics. Despite those temporary problems, my childhood was good. I would travel to my dad in Fort Lauderdale during school breaks that would take me away from it all until I permanently moved there with him. While in Buffalo, I had great friendships. We were a solid group of friends, some of which I still talk to every day, 20 years later. What I did not really tell them was what else happened in the house next to the cemetery because I couldn't really explain it. When I did, it would start weird conversations about monsters or jokes. The first experience happened around Christmas time after I first moved in. I was lying on the couch in the living room next to the Christmas tree with the blanket over my head, making almost a small personal tent while I played with the Game Boy. At the time, you needed a light attachment to illuminate the screen, and the tree was throwing off the colors on the screen. I forgot what I was playing, but suddenly, what seemed like a hand pressed down on the blanket I was under. Instead of looking from under the blanket, I felt frozen. I knew this was not my mom or her husband, and so I felt uneasy. The hand lifted and away from the blanket, and all was silent. I peeked from under the blanket after what lasted what seemed like a few silent minutes, and nothing was there. I heard no footsteps, no clothes rustling, no breathing, nothing. The following nights made me nervous. The nights turned into weeks, weeks turned into months, and months turned into years. Every night at bedtime, I would preemptively wait to be visited again. I would sleep with my head outside of the blanket, but I felt the presence on my leg touched. I would hide back under my blanket. All these nights had passed without any footsteps, doors opening, or anything like that, unless the ghost decided to move objects. The house was otherwise silent at night. The hand that touched my legs seemed to glide over it. It did not hurt, but it did not feel normal. It was like a heavy, cold wind. It got to the point where it became tiresome and annoying. I had trouble sleeping, and I'd ask my mom if I could stay up later, but she would say no. I told her all the time that I'd be touched at night on my legs and things would be moved in my room, and she told me excuses that I look back on as being funny. She would tell me it was a squirrel outside making noises, or asked me if I was sure that I did not imagine it, so if I could not stay up, I had a good idea to just not sleep there anymore. I would spend so many nights at my friend's house or downstairs with my grandpa. Both places seemed lighter, even if one of those places was in the same building. A funny thing about my friend's house is that it was across the street from the cemetery, so I ruled out the cemetery being the cause of the haunting. His house had nothing whatsoever from what I could tell or sense. Whenever I had to sleep in my own bedroom, which I tried to have happen as little as possible, it was the same thing. Two other nights do stand out to me. One of the nights, my books were on a table at the foot of my bed, and they started turning on their own. The pages would flip quickly. I remember starting to get into Harry Potter, and I was proud of those books, and this ghost was ruining them. I got kind of angry at the ghost. I did not want the books to be ruined, so I tried to scare the ghost or make the ghost interested in me instead. I still could not look from under the safety of my blanket, but I began to just wiggle in my bed and cough loudly. It seemed to have worked. My book stopped moving and I eventually fell asleep. I woke up the next morning to my book spread over the floor and pages bent and some torn. The next day I told my friends at school. They pressed my thumb down and had the pages quickly turned past it and said they did it on their own and they laughed. Another night I was awoken to my radio turning on. I had the volume set to low, so it did not bother me that much, but then the volume was turned up, couldn't believe it. I was still scared of the ghost, so I just let it play. The noise echoed throughout the house, and eventually my mom came and turned the radio off. I asked, "What was that?" And she told me that the radio was probably set up to be timed on an autoplay. However, I discovered there was not a setting for that, and never did it before. Despite being awoken in the middle of the night with the radio blasting, I was happy that the ghost decided to be very loud so my mom could witness it. The last story at this house is something I'm not sure I believe myself because it happened to my friend. This friend is affected by it over a decade later. I decided to host a sleepover, which did not really happen at my place. We took the living room over, played games on the TV. We were having a lot of fun until one of my friends gasped and frantically tried to back up to the couch behind us. He told us he saw a white figure without any distinct features in the hallway. And that's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. To hear the rest of this and all 321 bonus episodes in their entirety, you need to become an EPP, an extra podcast person. That's how we support the show. That's how we keep this thing on the air. This is not a hobby for me. This is my job. This is how I support my family. This is what I do. So I can't just do it for free. I wish, you know, that could be a thing. But hey, I love doing this, and I love that you guys have allowed me to make this my life. So $5 a month if you want to be in on that and be getting all of the bonus and all of the extras that we throw out there. Please do sign up. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/RealGhostStories is where you do that. In the rest of this episode, we'll finish up this story, find out exactly if they're able to ever be able to make some sense of this and accept what is going on with the haunting. Also, a dead brother returns to give his sister one last scare from the grave. And who's the ghost that haunts a group of college students sharing a rented house? And what does he want? All of that and more. And the rest of this EPP bonus episode. Sign up, get this. You get 321 bonus episodes, new bonus episodes every week, advanced episodes with no ads in them, commercial free. You also get our archive of episodes, literally thousands of them going back like 8 years. So you get all of that. You get our ebook, you get our audiobook. You can sign up for an annual membership too if you want to do that. And with that, you get 1 month free. So that's another extra you can get. Lots of ways to do it, lots of ways to support the show and get in on all sorts of great ghost stories this October. Ghostpodcast.com is where you can sign up, or if you use Patreon, go to patreon.com/realghoststories. We greatly appreciate your support. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.